we are first introduced to Elisha in the book of Vikings chapter 19:6. God instructs Elijah to anoint Elisha as the new prophet to take his place. Elijah approaches Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 19:19, and their meeting is so dramatic that Elijah throws his mantle on Elisha. The Bible records that Elisha left his yoke of oxen in the field and ran after Elijah. It is at that point Elisha is commissioned by God. He says goodbye to his family and slaughters his oxen to show that his decision to accept the mantle of Elijah is final. We do know that Elisha's ministry spanned approximately 50 years. He assisted Elijah during the reign of King Ahab through King Jehoash. We also know that Elisha confronted the people of Israel regarding their worship of false gods and the rejection of the one true God, Yahweh. Elisha was a passionate prophet, and he performed many miracles in the Old Testament. Contents Abstract I Chapter I Introduction to Elisha and the Miracles He Performed 1 Chapter 2 References 10 Scriptures Chapter I Introduction to Elisha and the Miracles He Performed. Elisha comes on the scene in 2 Kings Chapter 19:6 and is commissioned by God, and then Elijah bestows his mantle to Elisha, then leaves his family and becomes a disciple or protege of Elijah. A mantle is a cloak without sleeves, worn over other garments, often thought of figuratively as a symbol of authority or greatness. New Standard Encyclopedia Dictionary, page 439, Dr. Missler believes that since Elisha was plowing a field with his own yoke of oxen, that he or his family were perhaps wealthy. For Elisha to slaughter his yoke of oxen means that he has nothing to return to once he accepted this commission. Elisha can only look forward because he has asked for a double portion of God's anointing. The Bible records Elijah performing 14 miracles. The Bible also records the Elisha performing 28 miracles, which can be representative of the double portion that Elisha had asked God for. The miracles that both Elijah and Elisha performed were in response to Israel's wickedness and worshipping of idols and false gods. I have noticed that most, if not all, of the miracles that Elisha performed were not for the children of Israel, but Gentiles. As we touch lightly on each of Elijah's miracles, this will give us a better understanding of the God we serve and of his faithfulness, love, and mercy toward sinners. Chapter 2 Elisha's Miracles. A brief overview. Elisha's first miracle is mentioned in 2 Kings 2:14 is called the parting of the Jordan. We witness in Scripture that Elisha repeated a similar miracle done by Elijah. Elisha uses Elijah's cloak to part the Jordan River, and he was able to cross over on dry land. Elisha's second miracle, 2 Kings 2:21, is called the healing of the waters. Elisha is asked by the men of the city to notice their situation, as the water is bad and their ground is barren. Elisha asks for a bowl of salt and throws it into the water, and he decrees no more barrenness or death. Miracle number 3 is the curse of the she-bears and is found in 2 Kings 2:24. Elisha departs from the city whose waters he just healed, and he is approached by a group of young people that mocked him. The word youths is translated idolatrous or infidels, possibly men in their late teens or early 20s. The term used by them go up is speculation that they were suggesting that Elisha go to the same place he Elijah went, as they did not want a prophet of the living God to confront their idolatrous practices. Elisha pronounces a curse on them. Then two she-bears came from the woods and devoured all 42 of them. Miracle number 4, filling of the valley with water, 2 Kings 3:17. This miracle was in response to the Moabite king, Mesha, who had engaged Israel, along with the kings of Judah and Edom, in battle. God provided water for the cattle and livestock for Israel and their allies against Moab. Elisha had told them to dig ditches in the valley and that they would not see any wind or rain, but thank God supernaturally provided the water. This enabled the kings of Israel, Edom, and Judah to have a victory over Moab. The fifth miracle was during the same battle of Israel, Judah, and Edom against Moab. Found in 2 Kings 3:22 and called Deception of the Moabites in the Valley of Blood. The Moabites get ready for battle. In the morning they see the sun rise and the reflection of the sun against the water in the valley and presume that Israel, Judah, and Edom have turned on each other, and they believe what they see is their enemy's blood. Moab proceeds to approach the camp of Israel, believing all inhabitants are dead. However, the Israeli forces rise up and attack the Moabites, with the element of surprise thereby slaughtering many, and they withdrew. Miracle number 6 is called Miracle of the Vessels of Oil. 2 Kings 4:4. What a woman whose husband was a prophet cried out to Elisha and tells him that a creditor wants to take her 2 sons as slaves for repayment of a debt. She tells Elijah she has no money, and he asks her what she has in the house. She tells him she has some empty vessels. Elisha then tells her to borrow vessels from everyone in her neighborhood. The widow woman acts in faith and does what Elisha instructs her to do, which is take her last bit of oil and begin to start pouring into the empty vessels. Her vessel never ran dry, and when the last borrowed vessel was full of oil, the boring and oil ceased. Elisha instructs the widow to sell the oil for the repayment of debt. This particular miracle, I believe, addresses the gospel message, in which we as sinners owe a debt that cannot be repaid, which leaves us as slaves to sin. However, God does a miracle and sends the oil of His Holy Spirit, and there is no limit. He pours out fresh oil as repayment of our debt so that we can walk in liberty and wholeness. Miracle number 7 is the prophecy of the Shunammite woman would have a son. 2 Kings 4:16. There was a Shunammite woman who made provision for Elisha in her home, recognizing that he was a man of God. She would often open her home to him for meals and as a rest stop. One day when Elisha was passing through, he had asked the Shunammite if there was anything he could do for her. Since she did not ask for anything, Gehazi told Elisha that she had no children and that her husband was old in years. Her response was, "No, my lord, man of God, do not lead to your maidservant." Elisha prophesied over her and she conceived, bore a son as Elisha had foretold. Miracle number 8 is resurrection of the Shunammite son, 2 Kings 4:34. In 2 Kings chapter 4:18, we are told that the Shunammite son grows and later is in the field, as he complains of the headache, and then goes to his mother, falls down and dies. The Shunammite takes her son as in place on Elisha's bed. She then asks her husband to settle a donkey to grab the man of God and bring him back or home. We see Elisha performing a similar miracle as Elijah did. Elisha prays, then lays across the child, and life is restored to his body. Miracle number 9 is healing of the gourds, 2 Kings 4:41. Elisha returns to Gilgal. Was a famine in the land. Some servants gathered wild gourds to serve food to the sons of the prophets, however they were poisonous. Elisha takes flour and puts it into the pot, and this too was not harmful. Miracle number 10 is miracle of the bread, 2 Kings 4:43. Elisha arrives in Baal Shalisha and is presented with first fruits of 20 barley loaves and ripened grain in a knapsack. Although Elisha is with a group of 100 or more, he prays and asks the servants to distribute the food to the group of hungry men. Elisha tells the servants that they will have food left over, everyone eats and is filled. Miracle number 11 is the cleansing of Naaman, 2 Kings 5:14. Naaman is the commander of the Syrian army and is struck with leprosy. His wife's maidservant tells her about the prophet of God, Elisha, who may be able to heal Naaman of his leprosy. Naaman tells the king, who in turn writes a letter to the king of Israel inquiring of the man of God, and then sends silver and clothing as a peace offering. Naaman presents himself to Elisha, and Elisha instructs Naaman to dip in the Jordan River 7 times, and his flesh would be clean. Naaman is filled with pride and refuses to dip in the Jordan, as Elisha did not perform the miracle to Naaman's specifications, or he may have felt this was too simple a task for such a great man. Naaman is insulted and storms off. His servants ask him why he did not do as the prophet said. "I think," the servant said, "what's the big deal? If you don't get healed, you're no worse, but if you do get healed, that would be a testimony of God." Naaman has a change of heart and does what Elisha instructs him, and gets healed. He proclaims, as a Gentile, that God is the only God who is able to heal. Naaman offers Elisha money and clothing, but Elisha rejects the offer. Miracle number 12 is the perception of Gehazi's transgression, 2 Kings 5:26. Jahazi lets his greed given away, and he pursues Naaman, and tells him that Elisha changed his mind, and wants 10 talents of silver, and 2 changes of garments. Naaman in his appreciation accommodates Gehazi's request, and gives him the goods. Miracle number 13 is cursing Gehazi with leprosy, 2 Kings 5:27. Jahazi returns to Elisha, and is asked by Elisha where he has been. Jahazi lies to Elisha, and tells him, "Your servant did not go anywhere." Elisha tells Gehazi that he knows what he did, and that the leprosy that Naaman was healed from was now transferred to him and his descendants forever. Miracle number 14 is floating of the axe head, 2 Kings 6:6. Elisha is instructing the sons of the prophets. The sons of the prophets outgrow their current dwelling and proceed to build a new dwelling. They cut down trees for the structure and borrow tools for the task. During the course of building, one of the axe heads flies off into the Jordan River. Elisha, knowing that this is a borrowed axe, takes a stick, throws it into the Jordan and the axe, and floats to the surface. Miracle number 15 is the prophecy of the Syrian battle plans, 2 Kings 6:9. The king of Syria makes battle plans against Israel. The king of Israel sends for the man of God, who is Elisha. Elisha then makes known to the king of Israel the Syrian's battle plan, and warns the king to not pass by that place. The Syrian king wants to find out if there is a traitor among his men, as Israel was forewarned about the location and the plans of their attack. They plead with the Syrian king and tell him there is no traitor, only Elisha, who knows what is spoken in the king's bedchamber. Miracle number 16 is the vision of the chariots, 2 Kings 6:17. During this same battle, too, Elisha tells Israel's army to not fear, as the power of God is with them. Elisha prays that the eyes of the Israelite army would be opened to see the mountains full of horses and chariots that were on their side. Miracle number 17 is smiting the Syrian army with blindness, 2 Kings 6:18. When the Syrians came to fight the battle, Elisha prayed that they would be struck with blindness according to his word. Miracle number 18 is restoring the sight of the Syrian army, 2 Kings 6:20. Elisha asked the Lord to open the eyes of the Syrian army, then they saw they were in Samaria. The king of Israel inquired of Elisha, and asked if he should kill the Syrians, and the Elisha replied, "No, do not kill them." Elisha had prepared a meal for the Syrians to eat and drink, and this band of raiders never bothered Israel again for fear of their God. Miracle number 19 is Elisha prophesies the end of the great famine, 2 Kings 7:1. Elisha says to hear the word of the Lord, that the famine would be over. An officer of the king doubts Elisha's word, and asks, "How can this be?" Miracle number 20 is the scoffer, 2 Kings 7:2. Elisha then tells him, "You will see the end of the famine, but you shall not eat of it." This is the judgment passed on to the officer, or doubting God. Miracle number 21, Assyrians deceived with the sounds of chariots, 2 Kings 7:6. The Syrians approach the city gates of Samaria, however, upon the outskirts of the town the Syrians start to hear the sound of horses and chariots, who they perceive to be the Egyptians and the Hittites. They flee for their lives, thinking that Israel has hired an army to defeat them. Miracle number 22 is prophecy of the 7-year famine, Kings 8:1. Elisha approaches the Shunammite woman, whose son had been restored, and he tells her to go in her house and gather whatever she can, for the Lord is calling for a famine that will come upon land for 7 years. The Bible tells us that it came to pass the end of the 7 years the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she appealed to the king for her house and her land. Jahazi bore witness of who she was and her property was restored. Miracle number 23 is the prophecy of Ben-Hadad's untimely death, 2 Kings 8:10. Elisha visited Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who is ill. Elisha is asked by Ben-Hadad's servant if he shall live. Elisha responds by saying that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, will recover from his disease, but will surely die another way. Miracle number 24 is Elisha prophesies Hazael's cruelty to Israel, 2 Kings 8:12. Elisha prophesied that when Ben-Hadad would die, that Hazael would reign in his place. Elisha wept when he was shown in a vision by God the cruelty Hazael would inflict upon the people. Miracle number 25 is Jehu smites the house of Ahab, 2 Kings 9:7. Jehu is anointed king of Israel, and is instructed by Elisha to strike down the house of Ahab in vengeance for the blood of God's servants that had suffered or been murdered by the hand of Jezebel and Ahab. Miracle number 26, Josh smites the Syrians at Aphek, 2 Kings 13:17. Elisha becomes ill, and he recognizes that this is the end of his life. Josh, king of Israel, and mourns at the bedside of Elisha. Elisha prophesies to Josh and has him take a bow and arrow and instructs Josh to attack the Syrians at Aphek. Elisha gives specific instructions on how to defeat the Syrians. Miracle number 27 is that Josh smites the Syrians 3, and they are not consumed, 2 Kings 13:19. Elisha had given instructions to Josh on how to smite the Syrians. Elisha died and was buried, but we read in 2 Kings 13:25 that Josh had to recapture the cities of Israel 3 times. Miracle number 28 is the resurrection of the man that touched the bones of the Elisha, 2 Kings 13:21. We read that, after Elisha was buried, that a band of raiders from Moab invaded the land. Some men were burying a man, and they decided to spy on the raiders from Moab. They put the man in the tomb with Elisha. As the man's body touched the bones of Elisha, he was revived, stood to his feet. In conclusion, there are many miracles that Elisha performed, and God's name was glorified by some. We read that even in death Elisha had power beyond what we have seen in our lifetime. However, we have been promised the Holy Spirit as a deposit on the power of God. It is my prayer that the church would see a revival of miracles that were prevalent during Elisha's life.